Last week on Almost Entirely Sports.
Uh-oh, smoke just started coming out of a CPU. There's a computer on fire, I'm pretty sure. We got us. That's all we need.
We need so much more. Help.
But again, it was your fault entirely, almost entirely, Briscoe's fault, which is what the name of the show should be.
It is. This is not going to be a 15-minute segment of Colin Kaepernick. Don't skip ahead. It's okay. Holy bleep. It's going to be 98 degrees for the first game of the World Series tonight in L.A.
Who says baseball is a fall sport in October when it's the playoffs? That came out wrong.
At least that's working. Hey, I can mark things today. You want to listen?
Literally all five of our phone lines lit up all at once. Pitbull heard us. What happened when you answered?
Nothing. They all shut off at the same time. Ghosts!
We're gonna die. We're gonna freaking die. We're gonna die. We're gonna die. We're gonna die. I'm gonna die right here. I have put my foot down and saying that I will trade Patrick Mahomes for nothing less than an identical clone of a 25-year-old Tom Brady. Nothing else. Who'd rather have as president, a baby, or a puppy?
Russian president stole toy! Won't return! War inevitable!
President is cranky, gets put in timeout!
Wait, can he get put in timeout?
Who's
in charge, really?
Exactly!
It's your scam!
Read that sudden thing again?
Gortat tweets Wall will torture Ball for 48 minutes.
Yeah, sorry, that was the roadblock
Wall
that I
will
hit.
Torture Ball, okay. Sorry, yeah, that is tough to
48 minutes of ball torture, man.
I want people to cheer for Jamal Charles. I actually like to see him have a decent game as long as the Broncos also still win by.
What a Freudian slip. No! Don't mark that!
The show's free. It's a free show. If you don't like
shows sometimes.
I'm pretty sure there's always going to be somebody we're better than and somebody we're worse than.
Isn't this a sports show?
Chad, I can only imagine in response to us singing the Bananas in Pajamas theme song, said there's a reason other shows don't do it. It's a sports show. Or at least I thought it was.
Almost entirely.
Well, that was your first mistake. It's almost entirely sports.
That's the name of the show!
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Put that on my tombstone. He died with a great shirt, a great watch, and a great haircut.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
There's podcasts of this bleep everywhere.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
There is a type of person that just loves this show. We just have to find a few of them.
On ESPN Kansas City.
God, last week was great. I mean, let me rephrase that. Of the 10 hours of live radio we did this last week, 2 minutes of it were awesome. We had at least two great minutes perfectly whipped up there by Beards McFly, Nathan Wilhelm, the man behind the curtain, but with his own camera now on the Facebook Live. My face hurts a little bit from smiling through that whole last week on. And today, there is so much that we can talk about. This weekend was absolutely packed, and it didn't even have any Chiefs. Like, we're going to have 2 hours of topics today that tomorrow will all be irrelevant, for the purposes of the show at least. The Texans and Seahawks game was super interesting. And just great fun to watch. The Steelers and Patriots made my blood pressure go up. The baseball game last night was so great that even I watched, as apparently an accidentally concentrated millennial that has built up a disdain for some forms of baseball. Not the baseball I saw last night. And of course, the Chiefs and the Broncos play tonight. So anyway, we're going to start in a very obvious place. I know we like to joke around a little bit. I know we like to kind of throw a wrench into the system and everything. But we're going to start in a very obvious place today, considering everything that happened last night, everything that happened yesterday, and what's going to happen tonight. We're going to start, or I'm assuming everyone is starting their shows today, which is a review of this show from Reddit. Ryland Stiles, not Ryan Stiles, the famous improvisational comedian from Whose Line Is It Anyway, but Ryland Stiles is a fan of the show who's, I mean, that's kind of presumptuous of me. He tweets me. And he sent me a screenshot of some conversation on Reddit somewhere. And it was a conversation about, from what I can tell, local sports radio and local podcasts, I guess, Chiefs-based podcasts. I do not know the full context of this, but I have a comment that he made and then a response to his comment. I'm going to bleep the name of other shows that are mentioned here for the sake of remaining neutral in these discussions. Ryland says, "Bleep Bleep's show is hilarious for all the nonsense. Almost entirely sports on ESPN KC is the best show in terms of actual sports, in my opinion." Thank you, Ryland. And then Reddit username Oranges Pangs responds with, "Yeah, but JB Briscoe, not a typo, not my Twitter handle." I mean, that is my Twitter handle, but he's obviously heard it enough of this show to hear me say JB Briscoe. But he just says it as if it's my name. "Yeah, but JB Briscoe can get annoying sometimes. He tries to make me a better person. I'm just looking for sports."
By the way, when are you going to change your name legally to at JB Briscoe?
I've been working on it. It's a long process. But now my main concern is getting my gravestone to say JB Briscoe. Bleeper was always trying to make me a better person.
So annoying, man.
So annoying.
Just the worst.
"He can get annoying sometimes. He tries to make me a better person. I'm just looking for sports. And I'd recommend listening to bleep, 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 or bleep, 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 when bleep, or bleep, bleep talks. Those are all podcasts that will definitely keep you informed." If you want to see the actual screenshot of the conversation, everything, I retweeted it last night. I just thought that was too good. Also, like, I don't feel like I'm here trying to make anybody a better person. I don't oppose to that, I guess. It's not really my stated goal. I guess it's because I like the social issues, and I like trying to have conversations with different types of people about kind of polarizing issues, and I have a morality tied up in some of the stuff about, you know, like, whatever, racial injustice and those kind of things. I don't know. I just thought it was hilarious. So thank you, Ryland, for passing that along. That was the only realistic place we could possibly start today's show. Also, Beards was at the station until like 2 a.m. last night after getting to the station at 3 p.m.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Having to run last night's baseball game and then a very early Chiefs Chiefs pregame show.
Half Chiefs discussion, half World Series talk with Lorenzo Cain show.
Michael Coleman was doing. He's on.
And Darren Smith.
Well, Coleman is on right before us. Yes. Here on ESPN Kansas City on Mondays. I don't think we've ever actually met Darren, but I know of him. Anyway, Coleman and Darren Smith were doing that after the baseball game last night. In a really amazing streak for Beards, just because the game was 5 hours. The game was so long that you could have almost gotten through Blade Runner 2049 two times. Almost, not quite.
If you include pregame in that, which is an hour, then,
yeah,
you know,
definitely
closer.
Yeah, for sure. I think you could have probably gotten through the whole movie twice. So Beards, who was also sick, I guess, Beards is shot today. Just shot. And rightfully so. I understand why.
Yeah, I got home at 3. Fortunately, I didn't have school today, so I got to sleep till noon.
That's nice.
Which was great.
That's nice. Also, though, like, this is a Monday. And you and I both usually work 6 days out of the week. I had the whole weekend off, which was nice. But we'll both be here real late again tonight.
Yeah, it'll be close to 24 hours in 2 days.
I say all of this on this predominantly Chief show, I'm sure some of you are looking for. I say this just because I'm going to try to extend some understanding to Beards throughout the show today. Because he is just wrecked.
If we have technical difficulties like we did last week, I might just curl up in a ball under the very dirty underneath here of the soundboard.
Yeah.
And just collect dust and just lay there for the rest of time.
That is the difference in the vibe that I've gotten from you today. Last week, as the week went on, I felt like there was an increasing chance that you were going to become violent with some form of equipment. Today, I'm afraid that if something goes wrong, you might cry.
Or at least cough a lot.
No, I'm afraid the whole, like, fetal position under the board thing, it's really gross under there.
It's not great.
It's very cobwebby and dirty.
The slide-out keyboard thing
here. Disgusting.
The back of that is just nothing but dust.
4 inches of dust. And I'm afraid that if anything breaks this week, that you're just going to break down into tears. I guess if you do, turn my mic on.
What happens if your mic's the thing that broke?
Then I would cry.
That's true. You need an outlet for all your hot takes.
I really do. Although, man, I was, I think I've talked about this before. I know that Beards is collecting every time I say this now, but we're going to talk about the Chiefs really soon, I promise. But I think I've talked about this before. I was watching some other Facebook Live video thing that somebody else was doing. I was listening to some other radio show at some point. I can't even remember what it was, genuinely. But I got so bored by just, like, really harsh opinions. For no good reason. Because, I guess I might have been listening to Lebatard today as I was driving in. They're talking about, like, so what the hell's going on with the Raiders, huh? And it's funny because literally, like, what, 10 days ago, people were lauding Derek Carr as this, like, resurgent MVP candidate if he looked like he did against the Chiefs again. And then last night on Sunday Night Football, Rodney Harrison said, you know what, I'm getting kind of sick of Derek Carr, man. What's Derek Carr? Derek Carr is overrated. He's inconsistent. Derek Carr is overrated. And the amount of pendulum swinging that we do in sports in general, but especially football, because the sample size is so small and we have 6 days of downtime to fill every week, the amount of hot take shifting is so absurd. And like last year, the Vikings started 5-0. And, you know, the Chiefs have had an awesome start to this season. The Chiefs started this year 5-0 and drop a couple. Like, we need 10 or 15 games of a sample size before we can realistically start having any really, really strong opinions. But we do it every single week. And so I'm trying to shift a little bit how I do that. I wanted to, you know, keep doing smart analysis of things, which, like, you know, guys like Seth Kizer and Matt Verderam do a really good job of. But I just kind of want to, I like riding the wave, man. Yesterday in the NFL was fun yesterday. Like, the Texans, this gets Chiefs related if you're getting nervous. The Texans and Seahawks game was a thrill. I mean, I guess it was probably the best football game I've seen this year. Although, you know, on last Thursday night, we said that was the best football game we had seen this year. But it was an absolute blast yesterday afternoon. Deshaun Watson was all over the place. Russell Wilson somehow might have played better. Both defenses were getting shredded. It was 41-38. Bill O'Brien refused to trust Deshaun Watson at the end of the game after he'd carried the team all day. Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins looked like themselves again. DeAndre Hopkins was finally rewarded for spending a year with Brock Osweiler. I mean, it was amazing. It was just fun. I don't care if the Texans are for real or not. What I saw yesterday was just that's what I want from sports, much more than I want to fight with you about how for real the Texans are or aren't. Also, by the way, the side story on the Texans thing was actually the main story until the game was great. All but six Texans knelt during the anthem, which I think is extremely interesting because for the first time in this entire protest storyline, the minority of players were standing. The Niners might have slipped that a little bit, but there were literally six guys. You could name all the guys who weren't kneeling in a single tweet. So that makes them the story, which I think is fascinating.
I remember the Steelers had that too, where Villanueva yes. stood outside the tunnel. And then obviously the Cowboys had their "we're going to kneel before the anthem" while Jerry Jones makes, you know,
makes the love to the camera.
Yeah.
That is the correct phrase.
And just jumping off on that point a little bit, I remember seeing something. There was like a video right before that where they knelt and he was like motioning to the camera person to not walk away and come back towards he.
That's
where he
amazing.
Was standing.
I love that story. I had not heard that or seen that. That's awesome.
I'll try and find it and send it to you.
Please. I would love to see that. But yeah, so the Villanueva thing is a good comparison because the Steelers were going to stay in the locker room and Villanueva was out there. It became a story. It became a story for a few days, whatever. He apologized and, you know, unity. But I thought that was an interesting demonstration. I wish they would have done the helmet decal thing and gotten away from the anthem. Just because at this point the anthem as a protest ground is so tainted by people getting the wrong message through, that if there's another way to do it, I would support that, especially for a different cause. It wasn't the you know, racial inequality cause. It was the "our owner's a bleep" cause. But I thought it was interesting.
The Clippers did something like that with Sterling.
Yeah, they turned their warm-ups inside out, didn't they?
They turned their warm-ups inside out. Well, they turned their, like, long-sleeve shirt
yeah.
inside out, and then their actual warm-ups that said Clippers on it. Yeah. I think they just...
They threw them into
they
half
all
court.
Walked, yeah, yeah, they all walked together at half court and threw them in the thing.
Right.
I like that. That was the playoffs.
Yeah, and I like that because that's obviously a direct response to your ownership. But whatever, the Texans handled it pretty well, and frankly, it's not as big of a story as I would have expected it to be because yesterday had a lot of really good games. And especially that game. The protest thing ended up being maybe something you show right at the beginning of the highlight package, but it doesn't end up being a long-term conversation. It might get some legs again midweek, but on a football Monday, it becomes a real side story. And I also am always cool with empowered employees. I think that goes back to what we talked about on Friday. I usually side with empowered employees. I think it's good for them to show their unified power. Against the ownership, they don't feel like it appreciates them. So I definitely get that. I think that's a noble enough cause. Anyway, with the actual game yesterday, I had a very good tweet. I'll say it. I had a very good tweet when I pointed out during the game that I'm rooting for the Texans to make a good run this year. I'm rooting for Deshaun Watson to have a big season because I think Deshaun Watson should get to enjoy his one single season as the best quarterback out of the 2017 draft class.
You think the guy the Bears picked is going to be that good?
I was hoping you'd come in there with that, Bridge. I really was. I didn't think you're going to.
You're welcome.
I definitely didn't think you were going to remember the name Trubisky, so that doesn't surprise me.
I knew it was something weird. I just couldn't remember off the top of my head what it was, and I wanted to get that joke in there
really
quickly.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that you did.
Before you moved on.
I was about to give up on you. I really was.
Very disappointed in me.
Wow, man, I really don't know what you see in Deshaun Kizer, but okay, if you say so. No, but he's a blast, man. And Bill O'Brien, we're going to have this related to Mahomes conversation in 2 seconds, but I hate Bill O'Brien, as I've made clear. He is the bane of my existence. He refused to to give the ball to Deshaun Watson whenever they had a chance to put the game away, and they ended up giving it back, and the Seahawks went and just dunked on him. And he's just handing the ball to Lamar Miller or whatever. Just a waste. But Deshaun Watson is going to save Bill O'Brien's job, and I hate it. The Texans started Tom Savage for 30 minutes of this season. So if Watson keeps playing like this, Bill O'Brien is going to be version 2 of Mike McCarthy, and I hate it. Mike McCarthy's not a good head coach. He just has Aaron Rodgers, so his team is good. If Deshaun Watson keeps doing half of this, then Bill O'Brien's going to be the coach in Houston for the next 10 years without any real good reason.
I feel like he would have been under a little bit of pressure, though, if they would have started a rookie quarterback and then not done well.
Sure, but that's because that he got to like, see him in camp. He got a whole offseason of, Tom Savage, Deshaun Watson. Tom Savage, Deshaun Watson. Tom Savage. Let's go with Tom Savage. The other problem that I have with it, though, is I don't have an enormous problem with not starting a rookie. I would have started the rookie out of the gate and said, all right, let's see what you got here. Which is what the Browns did, and, you know, that's not working, but they didn't have another option, obviously. They've tried those also. My problem, though, Beards, is that they went for 30 minutes of Tom Savage. If you're gonna go that route and say, you know what, I don't want to put the rookie out there right away, then you've got to give that first guy 4 games. You got to give him a quarter of the season. Because you're not surprised by the first 30 minutes you saw of Tom Savage. You're not surprised that he looks like Tom Savage. Anyway, I digress. Well, and so now, there was an interesting conversation that started to bubble up a little bit around, I can't even say Chiefs Twitter, around Mahomes Twitter last night. If right now you're going to take the Chiefs quarterback of the future, who would it be? It's not DeShone Kizer still. It does not seem to be Mitchell Trubisky. Mahomes looked really good in the preseason. Deshaun Watson right now looks like the truth. What would you do? Who would you take? And so this is where my fanaticism meets some logic. Because, to be frank, if Deshaun Watson would have been the pick for the Chiefs at number 10 this last draft, I would be singing songs about Deshaun Watson as well. It was about the Chiefs going up and getting their guy. And they took Mahomes over Deshaun Watson. Those two guys are going to be tied together forever. And Mitchell Trubisky will also be in that conversation forever now. The 2017 quarterback draft class is going to be looked back on as a package deal. But I personally really liked the way that I saw Patrick Mahomes play. And throughout the draft process, I didn't have a single person say that they preferred Deshaun Watson over Patrick Mahomes because they thought that Deshaun Watson had more explosive playmaking ability. I heard the argument that they preferred Deshaun Watson because Watson was a better fit for an Andy Reid system, that he'd be a better game manager, that he'd be less risk-averse, that he was sort of like the undamaged version of a young Alex Smith. I heard Alex Smith as the pro comparison to Deshaun Watson. I find this all very interesting. So right now, I don't think I could pull the trigger because I am so infatuated by what we've seen from Pat Mahomes, obviously. But the logical thing to do would be to say, yeah, sure, we'll take Watson right now. Yeah, take, but sure. Because you've seen him at least for a few games do it on a pro level. And that's what really matters. Doing it on a pro level. Now, Adam Schefter today tweeted that in his first 7 NFL games, Peyton Manning threw 9 touchdown passes and that Deshaun Watson has thrown 19. I tweeted several eye-rolling emojis for obvious reasons because what a dumb thing to do. TJ Carpenter then chimed in to me to inform me that Nick Foles threw 16 touchdown passes in his first 7 games in 2013. So, Deshaun Watson right now, is Nick Foles. Like, Nick Foles threw three fewer touchdowns in his first seven games than Deshaun Watson has. Whoop-dee-doo. And man, listen, I am not just here to try to tell you that Deshaun Watson hasn't been a blast to watch. He has been. And you know what? We'll put out a poll. We'll put out a Mahomes-Watson poll. I'm going to find out a way during the break to phrase it differently than just who would you rather have going forward. Because I'm sure that's been done before. But we'll put it out there and see what kind of response we get, because I'm actually curious. Regardless, though, what Watson has done has been a thrill. Oh, God, they're doing it! On NFL Network right now, they're saying, if you were drafting today, who would the first quarterback off the board be? The first quarterback off the board would be Deshaun Watson. Because he's doing it on a pro level. Obviously. Yeah, that's how it works.
I've come to a realization. Is the NFL Network like our rival? They're always on at the same time as we are, and we think we're better than them, and then they steal our stuff like this.
If they're our
do
rival...
Do they have a mole?
Ooh, that's interesting. Well, it's either you or me.
Oh.
Or they're the one viewer that's always watching on Facebook Live.
Just the producer of the NFL
no,
Network?
You know what? Maybe my mom is watching and taking notes and then just sending emails to the NFL Network saying, hey, take this topic. Anyway. No, if we're rivals with NFL Network, it's like how Kansas football is rivals with, like, TCU at this point. It's like we consider them a rival.
We just beat them every year, and there's no problem.
That's not
how that goes?
No, the roles, no.
Darn.
We're sorry, we're the KU football on this.
Better cancel that pool then.
Deshaun Watson's been a thrill. He looks really good. I'm glad that he's good because I like good young quarterbacks. Like, I'm excited that Carson Wentz exists. I'm excited that Jared Goff is playing well. But I will never slander the good, pure name of Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes forever!
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Bananas and pajamas are coming down the stairs. Bananas and pajamas are coming down in pairs. Bananas and pajamas.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
God. Welcome back to Almost Entirely Sports. Subtitle, occasionally singing the Bananas and Pajamas theme song. I'm Josh Briscoe, Beards and Fly. Runs everything. The Facebook Live video has been off the chizane today, occasionally with reports of how the TuneIn app is not working. And if that's the case, I am sorry. And that's literally all we can do about it. We have so many, like, really, there's something every other day of some branch of the, some version of this show is not being broadcast at a usable level. Every other day. Which I guess is the reason that we have so many ways you can consume the show. We try to make it as available as possible because something's always broken. So I'm sorry. I wish nothing was broken. I really, really do. I would love for you to be able to hear the show wherever you are.
Hopefully my spirit's not broken by the end of this week.
For me here at 4:30 on Monday, it's already too late. The comments... Yeah, listen, I like Beards, just to be terribly honest with you, I don't know how to see all of the comments. I can see like five at a time.
Yeah, Facebook Live is kind of weird that way. I don't necessarily know how we can get it to where we can view all of them at once.
It's unbelievable.
It's like we don't know what we're doing.
It's unbelievable, but...
It's like we're not trained professionals.
Regardless, Clinton chimes in with a few things about Deshaun Watson and Mahomes. RJ has chimed in to say that bleep bleep show sucks, which I appreciate. And also he says that Rich Eisen is just going, yes, Joshua, unintentionally feed my show with more content to discuss. Yes! I'm Rich Eisen, yes! I like when my impressions end with me saying the name of the person that I'm doing an impression of, because there's literally no other possible way to tell.
I knew who you were talking about.
Hey, I'm Rich Eisen. This is my show on NFL Network. Hey.
Nice Fat Albert impression there.
Thank you. Hey, I'm also going to do... Here, Maurice Jones-Drew
is Fat
on the
Albert
TV.
Impressioning Rich Eisen.
No, it's that's just, what just it Rich was. Eisen. They just sound very similar. Just, you're untrained ear. Maurice Jones-Drew is just on TV. He's like, hey, I'm Maurice Jones-Drew on NFL Network.
He sounds like Fat Albert.
Well, listen, I've got very limited reach. Keith said he wouldn't take Watson in his top 15. I, at this point, think that you've seen enough from Deshaun Watson to say that you would be willing to be one of those teams to take a first-round top 10 flyer on him. Frankly, I think that after Mahomes looked good in the preseason, his stock would have gone up if he would have gotten to see that, you know, and then done a redraft, I suppose. Teams are quarterback thirsty, man. And right now the Bears have got to be starting to wonder a little bit. The Browns have to be crushing themselves for trading back. They pass on Carson Wentz. They pass on Deshaun Watson. They've got to be just struggling to get through their days.
Well, they had the number one pick, didn't they? They passed on everybody.
That's true. They passed on everybody, right. Yeah. And Myles Garrett has been hurt. But they also had, what was it, pick like 14 this year? They had something like 1-14. Actually, 2017 NFL draft results. We need a little sounder for just like stalling while we look up something on the internet. Perfect. Hey, fine. I got it. Thank you. Myles Garrett obviously went one to the Browns, and the Browns also had. Oh, no, no. Yeah, this is right. Okay, this is what I was thinking. They actually had the 12th pick from the Eagles, and then they traded back with the Texans, so they could have had Myles Garrett and Deshaun Watson. The Chiefs traded up with the Bills to get Mahomes. Marshawn Lattimore went to the Saints at 11, and then the Browns traded back from 12 as Deshaun Watson went. With the Browns pick.
So they've got, what is it, Hoyer? Is that who's their other quarterback?
In
the Browns?
Cleveland? No, Beards, please. No.
They
have
somebody,
Kevin Hogan.
Oh, Hogan, that's what it was.
And
Hogan,
oh God,
Hoyer.
Kevin Hogan and, oh, I've already forgotten the other quarterback's name. I deleted, he became irrelevant so quickly that I deleted him from my memory.
Well, how about we look it up?
No, I don't want you to, I mean, you should look it up in case I don't think of it. But no, because now I think Hoyer is backing up C.J. Beathard in San Francisco, the other winless team. Oh, he played some this year. Because Kevin Hogan jumped him on the depth chart. Everyone
okay, I've got the list of quarterbacks up.
It's Deshaun Kaiser and then somebody else, and Kevin Hogan's currently the third stringer. Cody Kessler!
Yep.
God, I have so much useless knowledge
and
in his brain.
And they've got somebody named Pat Devlin.
He must be a practice squad guy or something. I know all three quarterbacks on the Browns' active roster, and if you told me right now to give you any sort of mathematical theorem that required any amount of effort, I would fall flat on my face. I do still know the Pythagorean theorem and that New York radio host who was absolutely infuriated by it.
Derves your Pythagorean theorem.
I can't remember that guy's name, though.
That's okay. He was on Pythagorean theme New York radio host. Yep. Works.
So on the Winston and... Keith is listening from Canada. Thanks, Keith. the best signal that this station puts out. Like, we can reach Canada through Facebook. And podcasts.
Thank goodness, because the signal of the radio station doesn't reach the parking lot.
Right. Actually, I've been getting 99.3 in like all across Kansas. That's not true. Around the Kansas City area. Clinton, who I want it's Clinton Petrie, I think is how you would spell how you pronounce the last name. I want to call him Clinton Portis. We're gonna call him Clinton Portis. It's not Clinton Portis, but that's how I'm gonna remember him. He said, before the draft I wanted Watson because I knew he would win big games and get the job done against the strongest opponents. After they took Mahomes, I thought about his big arm and freakish athleticism, and I hyped myself that he'd be better than Watson. I select the future with Mahomes because of coaching and just arm talent alone. Mahomes over Watson for 2018. He also pointed out that Deshaun Watson threw three picks last night. Alex hasn't thrown a pick all season, which is also a good point. Like, I was watching Watson yesterday waiting for that pendulum to swing because Twitter was just like, oh, Deshaun, I love you. You're the future. This is my Twitter impression. Oh, Deshaun Watson, you're the future. Look out, you're going to dethrone Tom Brady. You're the new king of the AFC. He throws a pick. Oh, Deshaun, you're a bust. You're a scrub. Bring in Tom Savage. And that's sort of how I experience Twitter, especially with young quarterbacks. Like last year, literally every single person on NFL Twitter was just lining up to take a big old poop on Jared Goff's future chances in the league. And then now you got Sean McVay, and Jared Goff looks like an actual NFL quarterback. And so everyone's going, oh, Jared Goff, I told you he was going to have a big bounce back season. Oh, Jared Goff. It's just, you know what? The voice that was just there, it was those janitor monsters from Monsters, Inc. You remember what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, jeez. How weird. But the way that we talk about young quarterbacks on Twitter is just absolutely bonkers. Like, Jacoby Brissett was the truth for a little bit with the Patriots, and he got traded to the Colts, and he sucked, and he was the truth again. And you've got Andy Dalton on that pendulum. Matt Stafford was up and down last night. Matt Ryan's been all over this year. Just there's so much randomness and there's so much pendulum swinging that I was just watching it happen with Watson last night. And then it's interesting because he played in such a fun way that nobody was getting bent out of shape about the interceptions. It was just, look at how great he was. And I love that, man. I love that. I would take Deshaun Watson's game yesterday for my quarterback every single week. I think that third pick was really late in the game, also trying to make something happen. I think only two of them were really hurtful. But you want to give me four touchdowns and two picks with that kind of performance yesterday? I'll take it. I really will. I'll take it. You want to just throw 8 or 10 really risky, high upside passes every game? Bring it on. I'll take it, man. I love that kind of football. And it's not even really, for me, it's not even just about winning, which I know sounds kind of silly because it's all about winning. But winning isn't the only thing. Or isn't it everything? It's the only thing. That's not me, man. Like, the Jets almost beat the Falcons last night, or yesterday, I guess, afternoon. And I could not have possibly cared less about that game. The Texans lost yesterday. And I was having a great time. So I want fun football. And I guess for the Chiefs, I care about the win over everything else. But I am here for a future of Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson and Sean Watson and Patrick Mahomes, hopefully, please God, being risky, big-armed quarterbacks. Not all those guys are big-armed, but risk-taking quarterbacks, not risk-averse quarterbacks, who are going to go deal. And sometimes they'll throw a couple of picks in a costume game. That's fine. I would take a league of Brett Favre's. I really would. Not now, I guess. Not Brett Favre, who's doing CopperFit commercials. All right, so we had an unbelievable day of sports yesterday, spanning across 1,000 different areas and like 4 different sports. And I think we essentially did the most on-brand thing this show could do. You know how there's a Wikipedia game, and this is not a joke, where you hit randomly get me to a page, and then you decide what page you want to get yourself to. And there's actually like an app now that I think will assist in that.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon equivalent.
Right. Where you have to just click hyperlinks in a Wikipedia article to get you from Venice, Italy's page over to the band Poison. I don't know why those are the two things I thought of. I just thought, I need two things that are far apart. And you click yourself over until you get there. You occasionally learn a thing or two, whatever. We just did that for this show. I was like, okay, super packed sports day to the future of Patrick Mahomes. Nailed it.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Oh, Deshaun, I love you. You're the future. This is my Twitter impression. Oh, Deshaun Watson, you're the future. I love you. You're going to dethrone Tom Brady. You're the new king of the AFC.
He throws a pick.
Oh, Deshaun, you're a bust. You're a scrub. Bring in Tom Savage!
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
That was even better the second time. Also, Andrew said the Twitter voice is prime. Clinton said the Twitter voice is prime. And that they have to agree when somebody sucks and proclaim a bust, and when they flips, they saw it first.
I saw it first! I'm everybody on Twitter! I either am or hate Keenan Fahey. I don't know that we're all the same.
Tremendous. Also,
what's their Durant sucks take?
Oh, Kevin Durant, does that in my personal record book? Durant's a quitter.
Twitter impressions are going to make the show shorter. Well, I think tomorrow our show's only an hour and a half, right? Which is fine, because I've got trick-or-treating to do. But it's also, if I do any more of the show in Twitter voice, I'm not going to have a choice. My dad commented and said, if that's how Twitter sounds, I don't want to hear Facebook. I take that as a challenge.
Facebook's fine.
No, I think Facebook is like,
vaccines can't melt steel beams! Forward to grandma!
Twitter is the mob. I feel like Reddit can be pretty bad.
Yeah, I think Twitter is angry mob. Facebook is like dumb loner. Is that fair?
That's okay.
Whenever I think Facebook, I think we're gonna play a game.
Uh-oh.
Let's look at the trending articles on Facebook right now. Something about Benghazi. House of Cards getting canceled after this year. Because also, in case you missed it, Kevin Spacey is gay. And we think assaulted like a 14-year-old boy like 30 years ago. So that's happening. And then we've got something about... These are actually like actual news stories. But if you look long enough, it's always... Someone has always shared something about how either... The far left or the far right are coming for your children.
Or there's a new Facebook profile picture trend. It's like, change your profile picture to show that you're a part of whatever group.
Yes. Put this filter on your profile.
It's March Madness. Put my favorite team's logo on there.
To show your love for the Utah Utes. Also, 14 of your friends are engaged today.
I am now in a relationship.
Maybe that's it. Maybe Facebook voice is just like life updates far away from the microphone. I got a new job.
I quit my job.
I'm sick. I'm sad. I'm engaged. Oh, no, we're having a kid.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe. On ESPN Kansas City. This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
The liners are not for my hot takes. The rest of the show is for my hot takes.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
So I put up a poll last hour, poll question, on Twitter, at JB Briscoe. If you were to redraft today, which 2017 rookie quarterback would you take at number 10 overall? Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, or Deshaun Kaiser? Those are the options. And at this point, 76% of my very Chiefs fan voter base have said Patrick Mahomes. Watson with 22%, Deshaun Kaiser. Has 2%. And Justin makes an interesting point here. Says, would have been nice to have an edge rusher and an extra defensive back. I get that. I do. I know this is short-sighted of me, but I don't think that an extra edge rusher and defensive back would have won this team a Super Bowl this year, that they're not going to win anyway. I think Steven Nelson coming back, we'll talk about that here in just a second. I think Steven Nelson coming back is going to be as good of a value as any. I do worry now that the Chiefs are going to lose too many games to keep up with the Steelers and Patriots. We'll also talk about it in a second. And the edge rusher thing, they did take an edge rusher, but took Tano Passanio, and he's not playing. So, I think you have to take your quarterback of the future. You just have to. And if you buy at all the idea that Alex Smith wasn't going to be this guy without some pressure behind him, then it's helping this year. And also, I don't totally buy that. You know that if you listen to me consistently, whatever. And then Nick Adams responded to, he follows Kansas City ESPN on Twitter, which is the station, not me, though. And he said, "You'll need to search long and hard to find a dumber poll than this one." Which, first of all, like, it's a very sportsy poll, and I get it. I was just sort of curious how that would come back. Secondly, why is it infinitely dumb? It doesn't seem like a dumb question. In fact, I'm surprised that 76% of people said Mahomes. 72 votes in. I'm surprised.
I feel like those voters, though, are like your Mahomes acolytes.
Right, for sure. Those are my Mahomes
apostles.
So, of
course, they're just like a little bit biased?
Sure, no, that's what I'm saying. These are Chiefs-biased people. So like me, they're biased by what we saw in the preseason and not completely on the Watson hype train, even though Watson looks amazing.
My very basic theory might be because, as you mentioned earlier, Watson's comp was Alex Smith, and they just want not Alex Smith.
I was in that place.
That might be what it is.
Leading up to the draft, that's why I shifted over to the Mahomes bandwagon before the draft began. The thing is now, though, the place where I think it allows a little wiggle room, if that's who you were before the draft, which is where I was, is Deshaun Watson has not been playing like Alex Smith. So now with what you've seen from Watson, I think gives you a little pick-me-up. Also, though, we saw Deshaun Watson here in Kansas City, or against Kansas City in Houston, right? It was in Houston. It was a road game, wasn't it? Was in Houston. Against the Chiefs, we saw Deshaun Watson. He ended up with, I think, what, 4 touchdowns? And
yeah, but it wasn't one of those in like the last drive of the game when
he had
still
70,
a blowout.
He had 75 yards in the first three quarters. So the version of Deshaun Watson that we saw did nothing until garbage time, further biasing this voter pool. So take that for what you will. I got to tell you, man, I have like an inch of water left in my cup currently. I'm going to have to go refill at break. And I'm pretty sure I can feel blood pooling up in my lungs because of the Twitter voice.
It's not quite a good thing.
Doesn't seem great. No. I don't feel especially healthy. Twitter voice is rough, man.
I mean, Twitter's rough.
It's right.
It's only fitting.
Exactly. It's. I'm all about the authenticity. You know that. Except for when it comes to plucking my eyebrows. I don't want to give you the authentic version of those. I don't actually pluck my eyebrows. It just seemed like the funniest thing I could come up with. The story of the day that I honestly am completely stunned that we got to an hour into the show, an hour and 6 minutes into the show, as opposed to 6 minutes into the show, is that Steven Nelson is officially active here today, and he's expected to play tonight against the Denver Broncos. This is a stat, according to Pro Football Focus, with the alley-oop from Rudy Salazar, the producer of In the Know here from In the Know with Rudy Salazar from 11 to noon here on ESPN Kansas City. Rudy put me on to this stat from last year about Steven Nelson. Last year in slot coverage, Nelson allowed a completion once every 13.3 coverage snaps, good for fifth best in the league among 52 eligible cornerbacks. In the slot, he was a top five corner last year. And I've actually seen some people that know more, that watch so much more film than I do, guys like Seth Kaiser, have said, listen, don't get your hopes too high up here. He's going to help. He's going to be an upgrade over Phillip Gaines. But don't expect the world from Steven Nelson. I'm kind of expecting the world. Not because I'm expecting him to be better than he has been. I just hope that he looks like a healthy version of who he was last year. That's it, man. If I can get that from Steven Nelson, I think this defense takes a huge step up. Also, the Broncos are getting increasingly healthy. Shane Ray and his Chiefs tattoo are both going to be active tonight, which is an amazing, hilarious story. Do you not know that, Beards?
I didn't know that. Yeah. I feel like the Broncos would have, like, as part of his rookie contract, made him laser that off.
No. Google Shane Ray Chiefs tattoo. It's a part of a big back piece, and it actually has a Sporting logo under that, and then Royals went under that one. And I think the Kansas City skyline, and you know what? He might have gotten that after he was drafted.
If that is the case, how mad do you think Broncos fans are?
They have to hate
it. Oh, it's the best.
It'd be like Marcus Peters getting an Oakland Raiders shield on his back. Can you imagine the panic? Not even the panic, just the... Oh. This is from March 2016 on ESPN.com. Denver Broncos linebacker Shane Ray simply wanted to show off some new ink, but in the process he earned some fiery responses from the team's faithful.
Duh.
Ray, a Kansas City, Missouri native, took to Instagram on Tuesday to show a new tattoo covering his back that includes several images he said honor his hometown. One of those, however, is an image of an arrowhead with a KC in the middle, much like the logo of the Kansas City Chiefs. It's just the logo, man. An AFC West rival of the Broncos. Ray also has images of Kansas City skyline to go with logos from the Kansas City Royals and Sporting Kansas City of the MLS. Initially, Ray posted an image on his Instagram account with, "Everyone knows how I feel about being from Kansas City, Mo, and that's real pride." Ray also said, "For anyone that's salty because I take pride in the city that made me who I am today, you weren't with me then, and I won't bother me if you're not now." Guess I meant it. It won't bother me if you're not with me now.
Man, Broncos Twitter must have just been salty.
Yeah, it must have been.
What would that have sounded like?
Ray also answered later on Twitter that, in part, quote, "I love the Broncos and I bleed orange and blue." Ray also said that a representation of pride in art shouldn't upset football fans.
Way to miss my plug there for Broncos Twitter. What would that have sounded like?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get that alley-oop at all.
Turnover.
Yeah, that was, I'm sorry. I muffed that one. How could you get yourself a tattoo of an AFC West opponent? How dare you be... Oh, God. I'm done. Oh, God. Oh, Trevor Siemian's my quarterback.
That's okay.
Oh.
That's okay. We're good.
Oh, Trevor Siemian's killing me.
I'm not doing the rest of the show by myself.
Trevor Siemian. Trevor Siemian is killing me. I'm dying. Oh, God.
You know what you sound like? Iago from Aladdin.
Which one is that?
The parrot.
Oh, yeah, it's Gilbert Gottfried.
It's Gilbert Gottfried.
I thought that earlier. Yeah, I realized partway through that I sound like Gilbert Gottfried with a...
helium. Gilbert Gottfried with just a tiny bit of helium.
And, like, razor blades in my throat. It hurts. Anyway, Steven Nelson's coming back tonight. And I'm really excited for that. I think it's going to be a really good improvement to this defense. God, some people must hate this show so much.
And here you are sacrificing your well-being
yes.
for their entertainment.
I am I'm a warrior. I'm playing through pain. I'm sacrificing life and limb only for you to tell me that I can get annoying sometimes. How dare you, Reddit? What have I ever done that's annoying you?
Nerf, I'm Reddit. I think this show is annoying sometimes.
What have I ever done that's annoying? I'll tell you what, I'm definitely not trying to make you a better person today. Quick pivot over to something else Kansas City and Bronco related over the connection between players and the city. Jamaal Charles wrote an article for the Players Tribune, and it starts off by him getting drafted, and then, oh, no, don't show the Zach Miller play again, NFL Network. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Oh, okay. Yeah, by the way, also, Zach Miller is apparently, like, in actual danger of losing his leg. His knee was so far dislocated that it tore an artery in his knee. Had you seen that, Beards? Yeah.
I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was torn artery bad.
Did you see the video? His knee, he flamingos.
No, thanks.
His knee bends. I am explaining the injury.
You don't need to tell me.
Don't watch it. But he was catching a touchdown, and he by the way, they ended up ruling this not a catch because he was in agonizing pain, eventually dropped the ball. Should have a touchdown. Anyway, he landed, and his knee just bent completely the wrong direction. Beards put his fingers in his ear, so I just used my hands to, like, this is how a knee usually works. Look at this knee, how this knee usually works. It's okay, Beards, I'm done. And it bit backwards. Anyway, it was horrifying. All I'd say was horrifying, but apparently Schefter was reporting that it bent, it dislocated so aggressively, and the, one of those Twitter doctors also said that it would have dislocated so aggressively that it would have torn, like, torn open an artery. And so they're doing, like skin and, like, vein grafts. He went to emergency surgery right away. And they're trying to, like, save his leg. Also, somebody got punched in the eye and might have lost their eye yesterday in football. Somebody broke an orbital bone after getting punched in the face. Joe Staley, I think it was. Anyway. Anyway, Jamal Charles wrote this article for the Players Tribune. And the article starts... The article starts with Charles talking about how on draft day he got the call from Herm Edwards and he was excited. It was the third day, or his third round, and he was annoyed to not have been drafted sooner. And people around him were telling him that he could go in the first round or definitely the second. And it was a third round call. He got the call from Herm when he was really excited and he was telling everybody, "I'm going to Kansas. I'm going to Kansas." And then people around him were like, "No, man, you're not. You're going to Missouri. It's Kansas City, Missouri." And Charles wrote about how he was like, "What? And that's no. That doesn't make any sense." So Charles didn't know that the Kansas City was also in Missouri until he was drafted by the Chiefs, which is a nice anecdote. But so this is how his story ends. He goes through and he talks about all of his experiences in Kansas City and the like pain of being a healthy scratch back in his rookie year in week two. And it's worth reading. But so here's how this. I'm just going to read you how it ends. How his story ends here. "At the end of the day, I wouldn't change a single thing about the past 9 years. I could go on and on about how grateful I am or about how what my old team means to me. But instead, I'll just say it like this. Football ends at some point. Family is forever. Denver is my home now, and I'm embracing my new city and my new family the same way I did to Kansas City. I know I don't have anything left to prove in this league, but I still have plenty left to play for. And I'm as excited as I've ever been, and I'm as excited as I've been in a long time for the next part of the story. But I'll never forget where I came from. So thank you for everything, Missouri. To everyone who got to know me and to spend time with me over the years, you'll always be part of my family. And hey, you know what? You're my family too, State of Kansas. Keep doing you." So if you boo Jamal Charles tonight, you're a terrible person. You are a terrible, trash, garbage human being.
But he wanted to be in Denver forever.
Bup, 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 bup. Terrible human being. I was kind of hoping, Beards, that you would just keep throwing things back at me. I could just keep... Bup, bup, bup. But he said he... excuse me. But he said he loved John Elway. Bup, 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 bup. He said he always wanted to play in Denver. No. Stop it. Go read the Players Tribune article if you're mad. He was incredible here, man. He was incredible. And he might have been the most fun I've ever had watching a football player. Really, ever. In Kansas City. And it's like, I mean, and we got to see Priest Holmes and Larry Johnson and Tony Gonzalez. And the guys now, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill's a thrill. Kareem Hunt looks great. I don't know if anybody was more fun to watch than Jamal Charles. And he was great here. And the Chiefs said, "We don't want you anymore. Go to Denver." By the way, I know it would have been a cap problem. Probably wouldn't have worked out. Jamal Charles being the change of pace back for Kareem Hunt would have been pretty dope.
In the four games that he played this year?
Oh, you mother bleeper. How dare you? Dare you. A couple other Chiefs notes looking ahead to tonight. Brandon Kiley tweeted, the Chiefs are the first team since the merger to have one or fewer turnovers in the first 8 weeks of the year, per Pro Football Reference. The Chiefs have been incredible at not turning the ball over. Strangely, though, they haven't been great at forcing turnovers. In fact,
wasn't their only turnover the first play of their season, too?
Kareem Hunt's first carry.
Yeah.
I can't remember if they had a pass play before that, but it was Kareem Hunt's first carry.
I think that was the first play of the game for them.
I think you might be right.
So they've gone minus the first play of the season. They have no turnovers.
They have not given the ball up. And they are... That makes them tied for third in the league with turnover differential. They're plus seven because they've pulled down eight turnovers. The Bills, by the way, have 17 takeaways. Although, actually, the Jacksonville also has 16. All this to say, the Chiefs are tied for third in turnover differential, but they are 24th in takeaways. The Chiefs have a very good differential because they're not turning the ball over at all. This defense, for all of its playmakers, hasn't been great at getting the ball. Atlanta and Denver, by the way, Denver, for all of their defensive strengths, only has four takeaways. Atlanta and Denver are tied for last in the league at takeaways. In fact, Denver is minus eight this year. They've turned the ball over 12 times, seven of those interceptions, five fumbles. But this is a place where the Chiefs defense has a big chance to grow, honestly. And playing Trevor Siemian feels like a pretty good place to get that done. But as the best in the league at not giving the ball away, by a couple, Buffalo with only three giveaways is next. For being the most ball secure team in the league, they're not making a ton of plays on the other side. It's a place where they succeeded so much last year. I told you last season it was one of the things I had some concern about this year, frankly, even as the team was getting healthier, obviously before Eric Berry got hurt. The Chiefs spent a lot of last year being very lucky by way of the takeaways and turning those into points right away. The Chiefs had a very explosive defense, taking the ball from opposing offenses and oftentimes taking those back, if not just for huge returns, for touchdowns. And that part of the randomness of football has leveled out this year. In fact, the Chiefs have probably been a little bit unlucky this year, given the amount of talent they have. But other teams that have been unlucky in the same way, Denver, Cincinnati, Arizona, other teams, Carolina, other teams in that bottom five or six that have talented defensive players and not a ton of takeaways. Also, the Chiefs have been playing pretty safe offenses. Now, as we've said, Deshaun Watson has turned the ball over a bunch. But Brady and Carson Wentz haven't given up a lot of turnovers. Rivers is a pretty good target. Kirk Cousins hasn't given the ball away a ton this year, if memory serves. Roethlisberger's been not great on the road, frankly, but he was just fine against the Chiefs. At least did enough. Derek Carr. So there's some really good teams the Chiefs have played through this first stretch of football. Also, we're keeping an eye out for news about Ezekiel Elliott. We're going to get a final ruling on his status for the rest of the season sometime this week, which is good because there's a chance that he still does not play next week against the Chiefs at Dallas. But it's amazing the stark difference in the first and second half of the season this year for the Chiefs. I know we've done this several times, but Patriots, Eagles, Chargers, Washington, Texans, Steelers, Raiders, Broncos, Cowboys. Up before the bye week, the Chiefs are facing murderer's row there. If they can win at Dallas, which I think would have to be an upset, but if they can win at Dallas, and even if it means no Ezekiel Elliott out there, I would take that W happily. If they could get out of that first 9 weeks at 7-2, the Chiefs are in really good shape going forward. But yesterday, the Steelers and the Patriots drove me completely bonkers. Whenever we come back, I will explain why I think it is that I actually am more emotionally invested very often in the games of teams that directly impact the Chiefs than I am in actual Chiefs games. I think the Chiefs have tried to beat the emotion out of me, but nothing ever makes me as fully annoyed as watching Tom Brady bring up a last-second comeback or watching Ben Roethlisberger shove somebody's face into the dirt. It's a really sad way to watch football. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Josh. Yeah. One more thing for you.
Okay.
One more thing.
Before we wrap up this interview.
I have the note card you sent me. I'm going to read it right now. I do believe Patrick Mahomes is better than Alex Smith. Will you release my family now?
With Joshua Briscoe.
I will release your mother, but your father will be staying until you purchase your Patrick Mahomes jersey. And then promise me that you will go talk to Bill Self while wearing it.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Hey, let's make a poll about who should have been drafted 10th and put two guys in the plate and one that literally hasn't played a down.
Nick Adams on Twitter hates fun poll questions. In case you were wondering what that was. Also... Oh, God. Andrew Luck's not playing, not practicing again this week. It's over, man. Andrew Luck is over for this year.
Are they the Sixers at this point?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Just completely mishandling their diagnosis?
Yes. That's a great cross-sport comparison. The Colts or the Sixers.
That's rough.
It is rough.
I apologize.
It sucks. Andrew Luck is great. Andrew Luck is Joel Embiid. The world is better when he is out there playing. But his organization is terribly mismanaging him. And now I'll see Markel Fultz and I guess maybe Ben Simmons and I don't know, everybody.
No, Simmons was rightfully kind of out last year. And then they
That
was fine.
From Renee on Twitter, girlfriend Renee, not of the whole show, just me. Sorry, Brits. We'll keep working for you. She says that my Patrick Mahomes sympathizer should only be called my Mahomies. Which, first of all, is a good point. Second thing, real quick. My sympathizers? We're not a terrorist organization. Actually, I mean, I guess some people on Twitter would argue to the contrary. I don't feel like we're a terrorist organization. We're not trying to secede from the Union. She also has asked for me to stop trying to make her a better person by telling her what would make her a terrible person.
I feel like the Mahomies are like a cult.
Right, yeah, we're not a cult.
You're the leader.
We're not a cult. We're a fan base.
It's the border between fan base and cult.
That's fine.
That's what it is.
That's okay.
There are no blood sacrifices yet.
Right.
But you might get to that point if you don't see Mahomes soon.
Right, and also no blood sacrifices, but we are going to aggressively, we're going to aggressively argue for the merits of trading Alex to the Jacksonville as soon as humanly possible. I have. Learned a pretty good amount about cults and like how they're formed, like why they are formed, how they work and everything.
Indianapolis Colts?
All right, just for the For the listening audience, I don't know if you caught this or not. I was looking at my computer when Beard said that and I would not make eye contact with him afterwards, but he said the thing and he started to do a little exhale chuckle. But he turned off his mic right after it started, so it just sounded like he went, Indianapolis Colts? That's what it was.
It was a little hanging fruit.
Indianapolis Colts? Why was your mic on for that? BJ Kissel said the Chiefs captains tonight are Demetrius Harris, Frank Zombo, and Eric Fisher. Why? Not a clue. They like to do stuff for, like, when guys are from that town, maybe they have some Denver connection.
I was just going to say, do NFL captains for that kind of thing really matter all that much?
No.
Okay. So it's more just the guys that we're sending out to maybe call heads or tails.
Right. Yes.
Do they have a guy in each locker room that's, like, the psychic guesser that does just better than anybody else at predicting which way the coin flips?
That would be exciting. Like, hey, why are you?
Is there a guy? Do they keep a guy on their roster just for that purpose?
Right. Why are you carrying that 120-pound little boy on your roster That the,
or just make it the kicker.
Who's always a help. Well, you can't just make your kicker good at knowing things.
Or that you draft kickers that are better at that. There. You've put two roster positions into one. A psychic and a kicker.
Well, yeah, that makes your draft value go way up. But I don't... That's not on a scouting report. Like, we need that, I guess. Like, at the combine...
It should be, though. That's my point.
Yes, that's good. At the combine, they flip a coin like 100 times. Like, all right, heads or tails, every time they call it. And then maybe you get a...
Are those the Hall of Fame numbers? Like, they got this many coin flips right
in
their career?
Yeah, of course. But on the back of their football card. That went well, right? I'm going to let the Jamal Charles thing go after this because RJ has come in and said, no, he's not some sort of war hero coming back from battle. He's a football player. When he has his press conference retiring as a Chief, I'll cheer for him again. I mean, he got fired by the team you root for after, like, years of service. I mean, it's like a cheering-based economy here whenever it comes to walking into an arena. Whatever.
It's different than, like, the LeBron leaving or the Durant leaving.
Yeah. He got fired.
He didn't hold a television show for an hour.
No, and then go to Denver. Leaving. No. And, man, can you imagine something like that happened here? And that I would get, probably. Anyway, I digress. Let's talk about the game a little bit tonight. Broncos at Chiefs. The Broncos are 3-3. They've been struggling immensely lately. The Chiefs 5-2 and have been struggling immensely lately. The Chiefs have several matchup advantages here. I think the Chiefs defense is going to have... I told you before the Raiders game that I thought a struggling Chiefs offense was going to get a chance to look really good again. And I stand by that because that's what happened. The inverse is happening here tonight. I think the offense is going to be really, really tested by a very talented Broncos defense that gave up 21 points to the Chargers last week, 23 to the Giants, only 10 to the Raiders, 3 weeks ago. The Broncos defense is going to give this offense fits. But offensively, I don't know what the Broncos are going to be able to do. Good luck, Trevor Siemian, getting the ball to Demaryius Thomas. And Emmanuel Sanders is out. I saw his report was that he's going to be back sooner rather than later. Also, Mitch Morse is apparently on the field currently stretching. So that looks good for him returning. Ron DeVray Tardif, I haven't seen anything new about. But even if Mitch Morse can just play and then nudge Zach Fulton over to right guard, it would be a huge win for this team because it shores up that right guard spot in a big way. So I am deeply rooting for that to come through. But I don't know what the Broncos can do tonight. I don't know how you can think that a Trevor Siemian, C.J. Anderson, Jamal Charles backfield is going to be able to move the ball whenever you've got so much actual talent on this Chiefs team. And I know, again, I understand if you want to have some concerns about how Bob Sutton has been bending and also breaking with his defense. The concerns we've talked about for the last 10 days ad nauseum of how it falls short here or there, or it's what we just talked about, how it's not been creating a lot of turnovers, how it's not aggressive enough. I get all of that. And I simply think that they can't be the kind of cushy they've been in recent weeks here, because there is no chance. I'm willing to say this, and, you know, Beards, whatever, that's going to mark this and play at the beginning of the show next week, or beginning of the show tomorrow, whenever I am horrendously, horrendously wrong. There is no chance that the Broncos are going to win this game with offensive aggression. There is no chance that we're going to come in here tomorrow and go, man, the Broncos just kept throwing down big play after big play. Siemian was just dealing. I don't see it. So, I would if I was in Bob Sutton's shoes, I would make them prove me wrong right now. I would say, go ahead, Trevor Siemian, put it over the top. But make something big happen, because we are not going to give you. We're not going to give you the easy stuff. And frankly, I would do that again to the Steelers whenever they play them again in the playoffs before losing, because the Steelers were winning with those little chunks. That's the only way the Broncos are going to put up points today, is if they put up a bunch of little chunks because Marcus Peters is playing 8 yards off and Justin Houston's dropping into coverage. If they get any sort of pressure on Trevor Siemian, if they make him take any sort of deep shots, the Broncos are going to eventually collapse in this game. And I feel pretty good about that. The last time I was this confident about something with the Chiefs, I told you that the Chiefs are going to win against the Steelers by 2 touchdowns. So, grain of salt. But truly, like, I'm going to try to double check on the Emmanuel Sanders injury update and what his timetable is. I just saw something on Twitter about it earlier today. Because it said he was questionable tonight officially, but I thought I saw something a little bit ago that was going to rule him out. This says now that he's a true game-time decision. The inactives will probably be out right after the show is over, which is really, really perfect and good, really useful for our particular purposes. Because are you currently defending yourself on Twitter for some reason? What you said? Wait, why are you subtweeting me?
It's not a subtweet. You should have read it better.
I saw subtweet. Oh, I get it now. All right. So Renee was saying that in response to a Beard tweet from last night, Beard was saying he should just sleep at 810/ESPN Kansas City, this building. He's here all the time. And Renee was saying that she could get you a blanket to warm yourself, but you need more people to hate you so you can have a blanket covered in your Twitter haters. I get it now. That is a subtweet at me.
You obviously didn't read it. It says it's not a subtweet, though.
I just want to find out if Emmanuel Sanders is supposed to play tonight. Okay, now this says he's not playing. Aha! I was right! Live radio. Okay. Good. So he's probably not playing tonight. The way that the Chiefs deal with Demaryius Thomas is going to be important because who's the next man up right now for the Broncos? AJ Derby? Benny Fowler? Okay. Marcus Peters head-to-head with Demaryius Thomas is a matchup I'm comfortable with. Frankly, I almost said Philip Gaines. That's not true. Steven Nelson or Terrence Mitchell with a little bit of help against Demaryius Thomas is a matchup I'm okay with. Now, I know that this isn't something that Sutton likes to do. Sutton, obviously, we talked about this last week. Sutton doesn't like to scheme for specific people on either side of the ball, which drives me crazy. But Sutton doesn't like to scheme to have Justin Houston rushing the passer. It's determined by the formation and the play call. I'm guessing he doesn't like having a safety out there that just follows Demaryius Thomas. But I think he should in this instance. Make Trevor Siemian and A.J. Derby beat you. Do you think they're going to? I don't. I don't at all. Make Trevor Siemian and C.J. Anderson and Jamal Charles beat you. I don't think they're going to. Although Jamal Charles does have the highest average carry, or average yards per carry on this team. Kind of interesting. I don't think the Broncos are going to be able to put up, but I think I said on Friday, I don't think I'm going to see them put up 17 or more than 17. And the Chiefs might struggle a little bit offensively in this game. I could see that happening. I would be surprised to see it be any sort of, to see it as painful as the Steelers game was. I just can't live through another game like that. But I think the Chiefs put up enough points. I think the Broncos are a wreck offensively. So I'm pretty confident in at least a 24-17, 24-13 type of game here. I have a really hard time seeing the Broncos put up a bunch of points. So which makes this interesting because my instinct is to say, though, the pressure is actually on the offense here. I guess you could say that the pressure is on the Chiefs' defense to not get shown up by an offense that has been terrible. But for me, I would look at this matchup and say this matchup is going to be about what this Chiefs offense does against a really good defense. Because I've been wondering. I keep having that yearning for a larger sample size. And the Chiefs' worst effort of the year was against a Steelers defense at home. That isn't stupendous. It's not a great defense. But it held the Chiefs to 19. Or excuse me, to 13, as they put up 19. I want to see what this defense, or this Chiefs offense does against a really good defense. The good news is that the path of the AFC is not paved with great defenses. But maybe, listen, if you think that Jacksonville is an actual contender, which I think you have to consider at least, if you think that Jacksonville is a contender, they're a great defense that you might have to see in a wild card round. Let's say the Chiefs, in fact, actually, I think if the playoffs were set today, that's how it would go. I think the Chiefs would get the Jags at home in Arrowhead in the first round of the playoffs. So maybe this gives you a little bit of a look at what that might look like. We get a really good defense and an offense that I don't buy. Although, frankly, the Jags might have more fearful options on that offense than the Broncos do. Leonard Fournette offers a whole lot more to be afraid of than C.J. Anderson. I guess Demaryius Thomas is better than anybody currently running out there for the Jags right now, and I guess I would take Trevor Siemian over Blake Bortles, but oof. I know I say this at least once a week, but I honestly cannot believe the Jags didn't just bite the bullet and go sign Kaepernick. It would change the division. It might change the conference if he was just any sort of decent. Just better than Blake Bortles. Just an upgrade over Blake Bortles. I don't know. But tonight's obviously going to be a whole mess of fun. Primetime games are fun. Monday night games are fun. Except whenever they go terribly, terribly wrong.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
In my lifetime, I've seen the Chiefs have three different star running backs. Stars. Priest Mahomes, oh my God. Oh
my. You can't stop.
Oh my God.
You can't stop.
Oh no.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I'm so rarely filled with shame. And the Priest Mahomes thing was honestly hilarious. But I'm kind of filled with shame. Christopher Harris tweeted out, "Hey, who will drink a shot with me tonight every time Trevor Siemian falls down when his offensive lineman bumps into him accidentally?" And I feel like I'll probably be here, so I shouldn't do that, but I like that rule. We're still waiting on the Ezekiel Elliott ruling. Apparently, according to Andrew Brandt, that is coming today. So we are looking for a ruling on if he's going to be on the field whenever the Chiefs play the Cowboys next week. If anything rolls out in the next 6 or so minutes here, I'll let you know for sure. Also, I just realized that I think I gave a tease that I never followed up on, talking about the Patriots and the Steelers. Also, there were like 5 or 6 other, we might have to do a coked up last like 5 minutes of this show. We'll see. I think I get more emotional about non-Chiefs games that directly impact the Chiefs than I do during actual Chiefs games. Because I realized yesterday I hate every NFL head coach and every NFL play call made in the red zone. And I hate the Patriots and I hate the Steelers more than I love the Chiefs at this point because they ruined my love for the Chiefs. It's all built on the same, it's built on the same sand, ready to crumble. But I just, it makes me so mad. Benjamin said on Twitter, "The Steelers are going to be a one seed, and Big Ben's going to win another championship and fly away like Peyton did. Wake me up whenever Ben/Brady retire." Spoiler alert, he's right. That's going to happen. And Matt Verderam said on Twitter also, it's very hard to see the Steelers not getting the top seed. The schedule has 5 home games remaining. The road games are Indy, Cincinnati, and Houston. Pittsburgh also has Green Bay, New England, Cleveland, Baltimore, and Tennessee at home. Outside of the Patriots, who beats them, the Steelers likely win at least 12 games. Maybe they beat the Patriots. Maybe they get beat by the Patriots at home. They're still a little bit of a mess on the road, but maybe they would lose at Houston. Maybe. The Steelers are probably going to be one of the top 2 seeds in the AFC. So it's up to the Chiefs to outrun the Patriots, who they have the tiebreaker over at least. It makes every game kind of feel like a must-win if you're going to do it that way. And then they have to go to Heinz Field in the AFC Championship game if they were to get that far. So I hate the Patriots and I hate the Steelers. And I don't understand the Raiders. I still don't know. We touched on that earlier, the pendulum swinging on Derek Carr being great or being overrated. They got whipped by the Bills. Ice Cube had an amazing tweet. Did the Raiders win? I blacked out after the 40th screen pass. Which is funny, and also it's kind of sad. I try to remove the Raider-ness out of Derek Carr for a second. It's kind of sad to see a guy with that kind of arm relegated to Alex Smith 2016 duty of just check down, check down, check down, check down, screen, screen, screen. I hate that. I hate losing good quarterback talent to that format, everywhere except for in the AFC West outside of the Chiefs, ideally. So I just, that was kind of funny. And, very sad. And the Patriots against the Chargers. The Chargers just kept trying to give the game away. Phillip Rivers ended up in that hellhole that he's always in, where he is trying to go score 8 points with like a minute left. He's got to go 82 yards, and he threw a pick that was right outside of the end zone on a deep shot towards the end. The same way that the Chargers lose literally every single game, I think at this point. It was disastrous. Also, we can go sports. We didn't ever talk about baseball. Sorry if you're listening to this on the Chiefs feed. I'm not editing out the last 45 seconds of this show. But the World Series game last night was crazy. I've never seen a baseball player come to a full stop halfway to first base, do a massive like Tiger Woods fist pump, and then resume rounding the bases. That was crazy and amazing. I want more of that for baseball. I don't even, like, we talk about all the time shortening up the games and instituting a pitch clock and everything, and I guess that would be good, but that's not what we need more of from baseball. We need more of, was it 13-12 final? I think it was. We need more of 13-12 games. We need more home runs and short left fields. We need more guys to hit a home run and then stop halfway to first and then throw down a fist pump and then keep rounding the bases. We need more racially insensitive gestures from the dugouts. Wait a second. Nope, not that one. Nope, don't. Not more of those. We need less of those. But everything else about this World Series is what we need more of in baseball. It's been fun. And last night was amazing because I watched every second of Steelers-Lions and then flipped over to the baseball game. And it was in, like, the 7th inning. And it went 10. It was amazing for everybody except for Beards, who ended up being here for, like, a 12-hour shift last night. Not an exaggeration. 11 hours?
11, basically. 14 if you want to count, like, drive time. Well, 12.
Are you commuting? 12, 13. Are you commuting from Spain? What do you mean 14 counting drive time?
Well, 4:35 was a mess yesterday trying to get over here. Oof. So that was fun.
Dude, I was driving here today. And that stupid little lane split thing on 435 South wasn't there anymore.
Yep.
It's amazing.
And I had to backtrack.
Wait, was it because that was all shut off completely yesterday?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
And they had it down to one lane and all this other fun stuff.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Right now, the NFL Network is doing AFC South. Who you got? You're right. I have built up an irrational hatred for NFL Total Access. It's always
the NFL
on in front
channel
of me.
In general.
Yeah, NFL Network in general. Yeah, you're right. Because it's always in front of me.
And it's always dumb stuff.
Right. And it's hard. Like, one thing I've grown to appreciate since doing this show, now, today notwithstanding, because today's been a freaking whirlwind. Tomorrow probably will be also. I've grown to understand why it's so dang hard to do this much live programming all the time. Because sometimes, if you don't want to repeat yourself, which usually people will eventually repeat themselves, if you don't want to repeat yourself, you've got to do all sorts of stuff and do it in a bunch of different ways, get different guests and stuff. I get all of that, but I also still hate how NFL Network
Can
does
we
it.
Do really quickly like 5 seconds of the Cavs are in trouble talk?
The Cavs lost at home to the Knicks. The Warriors lost at home to the Pistons. Selena Gomez and The Weeknd broke up after about 10 months being together. That just breaks my heart wide open. Zach Miller may lose his leg. Paul Manafort, Donald Trump's ex-campaign manager, was indicted on 12 counts of conspiring against the United States. And also the government asked the court to set Manafort's bail at $10 million, which is freaking bonkers. He's under house arrest. Now, I've already mentioned that Kevin Spacey is gay. Also, Kansas football is only a 10-point home underdog to Baylor this week. I'm counting that as a moral victory.
Also, David Beatty is bad at being a coach. There's a story that we can actually talk about tomorrow, whatever.
Chiefs win tonight. I'm predicting it. I've never been wrong about that before. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.